Oh, hi guys. Let me just sort myself out. That's a bit better. Good to see you all. If you don't know me, I think Al's kind of just introduced me as James, the head up the youth work stuff here, which I'm still absolutely loving, praise God. Been given a wonderful opportunity this morning to share God's truth with you guys. We're going to be continuing in our Shine and Sow series. So essentially, it's a series all about equipping Christians particularly, but I'm going to talk a lot to you non-believers in the room as well today. But basically about how we can shine Jesus with others, sort of in our actions. You know, even if you're going through a difficult time, there's still some shining that you can do through that in Jesus. And also sowing God's truth with other people as well through the gospel and through your words. So today we're going to be looking at a passage in John chapter 1. And just to give you some context before we get into the bit we're looking at today. So earlier on in this passage, we hear about John the Baptist. So he's just been proclaiming of Jesus' coming, the one who so many of the Old Testament prophecies have been pointing towards and have been promising, and they've been waiting for him to come. And we hear that Jesus has come. He's now a grown man. He's been baptized by John in the section just before this. And then Jesus has started to go out and call people to follow him to be his disciples. And literally just before the section we're reading today, he's called a guy called Andrew and Peter to follow him, which leaves us in the context for today's passage, which is John chapter 1, verses 43 to 51. So let me read that for you through, and then we'll sort of dig into it. So here's how it goes. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Next slide, please. "Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, "Here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree, before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus said, "You believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree. You will see greater things than that." He then added, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." Let me pray and then we'll dig into it. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you that you're with us this morning. I thank you for your presence and truth and the worship that we've had already. And I just pray that you'll speak to our hearts today, Lord. I pray that every single one of us in the room will come away with something of you. We'll come away with some equipping from you. We'll encounter you in some way, Lord, your love, your truth, your care for them, Lord, in some way, and that you'll fuel us going from this place. In your name we pray. Amen. Okay, so we're going to start off. I'm going to basically work through the passage in a ascending order, sort of a bit of linkage there to the word. And we're going to start with verses 43 and verses 44. So here's what they say as a reminder. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. So here we see that Jesus, he's just decided to head from Judea, which is where he was baptized from John, and he's returning to his native region of Galilee. We read that he finds a man called Philip, as you can see, who's from a place called Bethsaida, that's located in the northeast of Galilee. So for you, that would be northeast or something like that. And in a nutshell, basically, Jesus says to Philip, "Follow me, follow me." Now, whether he just went up to him and said, "Follow me," and that was it, I assume there may have been a little bit more of a conversation there that Jesus had with him. But the gist of it was, Jesus said to Philip, "Look, come and follow me, come and follow me." And essentially, that's the message that Jesus says to all of us that have put our faith in him. Follow me. You know, the definition of a disciple is someone who follows Jesus. We read a little bit after this section that Philip's already sort of read about the prophesied Jesus, the promised Jesus that's going to come into the world to save people from their sins. And clearly, you know, it's seen something in Jesus that's captivated his heart, as we'll go on to talk about a bit more in a minute. And God wants to stir our hearts as disciples of Jesus, first and foremost, to enjoy his presence, to want to follow him, to enjoy following him, so that we can love God from a place of, like, yeah, having our hearts stirred to want to love him, and also love other people as a part of that in relation, you know, to thinking about our Shine and Sow series. And if you're not a Christian in the room, I want to encourage you that, you know, following Jesus, it's not this like obligation type thing. It's something that you can genuinely have your heart filled to want to do, to want to follow, to find the amazing truth of this Jesus that gave his life for you to help you in day-to-day life. And yeah, he's someone that, you know, he says, come and follow me, but he wants to help you to actually want to follow him. And there is such joy in that. So yeah, bear that in mind as we go through. Hopefully you'll see the reality of that more and more. Now, when it comes to our series of Shining and Sowing, those who follow Jesus are called to shine and sow. First and foremost, because Jesus tells us to in the Bible, he instructs us to. He says, shining Jesus' truth and light, sowing his words with other people is something that he teaches us to do. But as we'll increasingly see from this passage, it's something he can stir our hearts to, yeah, genuinely want to do, like genuinely overflow with in a natural and joyous way, to simply not be able to help ourselves, but want to share Jesus' truth and life with others that we've experienced a taste of for ourselves. And in turn, that actually makes for a more sort of Holy Spirit-fueled, effective shining and sowing to those that hear from us and see God's, yeah, good sort of works in us, light in us, etc. With that being said, let's move on to verse 45, while I swig some of this. And here's what it says. So Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one that Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." So we can see here that once Philip has met with Jesus, he's encountered him, you know, and he seemingly responded to his call to follow him. He naturally then just looks to go and find someone else to tell them about this Jesus that he's just encountered, the one who Moses in the law and the prophets have written, the one he's been waiting for, that he's been hearing about in the scriptures. He's just naturally like, I found him, like, I've got to tell someone about this. Philip clearly knew the scriptures about this promised Jesus. He's encountered the reality of him in human form, and he simply had to share it with someone else. In this case, he shared it with a guy called Nathanael. Now, I'd like to think that everyone in the room that has given their faith to Jesus, that has put their trust in Jesus, has something in you that has got joy in that, has found a joy in following Jesus, that has wanted to follow Jesus, that has had your heart stirred in some way to follow him in such a way that you would want to naturally share what you found in Jesus with other people. And actually, even if you're going through a hard time at the moment, you know, there's still truths that stand, that he's with you in difficult times, that what he's done for you on the cross still stands true, he's present with you in the difficulties. The good news still stands, even if you're going through a difficult time, and you can still share that truth with other people. You know, my point being with this section is, you know, we all have wonderful news about Jesus that we should want to share with other people. And essentially, every believer in this room, we have an unlimited supply of golden tickets, right? Salvation is open to everyone. There is no limit on how many people can put their trust in Jesus. We can give the invitation out to every single person. And it's something, yeah, God should stir our hearts to want to just tell people, you know, everyone that we get a chance to share with, like, you know, come and see for yourself, come and experience this Jesus, come and hear about him. The one that's changed my life can change yours as well. And while a lot of us might have a heart to want to share Jesus with other people, it can often feel quite terrifying to know how to do, right? It can be quite a scary thing to do in our culture. How do we do it? How do we do it in a way without looking like too weird or wacky or whatever it might be that sort of holds you back? And I think we're actually given some initial tips here towards sharing Jesus naturally with other people in this verse. And that is to simply share our experiences with other people. You know, people sharing their experiences with each other in life is just such a normal thing to do, right? The concept, you know, of chatting with other people about our faith, I think we need to try and, you know, look at in the same way. You know, people in day-to-day life will tell you about things in their life just in a normal way, you know, such as if a colleague at work tells you about their weekend, you know, they went on a trip to London at the weekend or whatever it might have been, then why can't you share with them about your weekend, which happens to involve a trip to church, and you can share with them a bit about that, which is a very normal thing that thousands of people do every single week. When it comes to perhaps a slightly more, you know, weird or wacky example, if you like, that might feel a bit less normal to share with people, I was thinking about New Day, so a little one sort of to get your youth thinking. So this year at New Day, on the healing night, we had a chap next to us in a wheelchair, and, you know, basically, you know, half an hour later, this guy is up the front, on the stage, out of his wheelchair, completely and utterly healed. And you know what's coming at the back, but I know you chaps particularly came up to me and went, James, like, that is awesome. Like, what on earth has just happened? This guy was literally next to us in a wheelchair, and now he's up on the stage, you know, saying that he's been healed. And, you know, I guess firstly I want to say, you see something as unbelievable as that, your heart's got to be stirred in some way to think, I've got to surely tell people about this. Like, I've just seen proof that God is real. I've got to want to share that with people. And I guess the second sort of tip or encouragement of that is, I think you can still do that in a way that doesn't have to sound like you're completely barking mad. I think you can just be honest with people about, like, even prefacing, telling them with, look, I know this sounds crazy. Like, what I'm about to tell you, yeah, sounds a bit bonkers, but I'm telling you what I've seen. If you saw that, I'd want to know about it. So I'm just telling you what I've seen myself. I think it's good to be real about these things and make them normal, but let's not hide away from the truth of sharing, like, phenomenal news and phenomenal things that we see God doing that can truly change people's lives. So, you know, when it comes to sharing our experience with others, sometimes it can happen naturally. So, you know, you chaps might be asked about, you know, so what did you guys do over the summer? And you have an instant opportunity to talk about New Day, or what did you guys do at the weekend? I went to church. And, you know, there's natural conversations and opportunities that can come up, and I would encourage you to pray for more of those natural opportunities, because they're the golden ones that are almost easier, if you like. They're almost spoon-fed for you on a platter. But as well as those sort of more perhaps natural conversations that just come up with the people that you're already doing life with, I'd also encourage you to intentionally seek out opportunities towards sharing Jesus with others as well. An initial example could be to join a new club, a new local club. So a few years ago, I joined the local hockey club. Part of that is because I like hockey. But the reason that actually got me to sign up was I thought, but also I want to get to know other people who don't currently know Jesus through doing something I enjoy, and you never know what might come from that. And praise God, there was one evening after our hockey session where I went down the pub with one of the chaps and had a wonderful chat with him about Jesus. And I thought, that never would have happened if I never sort of took that step to sign up to the hockey club. So for you, there might be a club or something that you could do or sign up to that could perhaps open up more opportunities to get to know people. Another example I always like to sort of share is the supermarket checkout example. So most weeks, if you're someone that does your shopping in the supermarket, you know, you're going to do your weekly shop. And initially, you have a choice. Do I go to self-service, which, by the way, I go to quite often. I'm naturally an introverted person, and self-service often ticks the box. But particularly when I'm doing my weekly shop, I always feel stirred by God to go to the checkout with a person on it, basically because you've got potentially a five-minute conversation there with someone at that checkout where God, you know, God could bring anything up. And I'd often try and pray just a quick prayer in my head before I go to the checkout, like, God, would you please help some kind of conversation to come up here? Sometimes, you know, nothing significant comes up. Sometimes the person at the checkout is just not interested in talking whatsoever. But sometimes a conversation came up with someone. I'd encourage maybe going in with a plan, such as a question starter, like, so what are you up to at the weekend? And then you might get a chance to share about what you're doing with church and things like that. But just see what God does through it. You never know. You know, that conversation at the checkout could change someone's life, which at self-service, there's maybe less chance that sort of thing might happen. Yeah, I generally try and say the phrase God bless at the end of my conversations with people I've never met before, partly because I think that could indicate, you know, there's a faith there, and hopefully if I have shined something of Jesus in the conversation, even if nothing has been spoken about in relation to God, that might just be another positive example of a Christian they've come across that hopefully points them a little bit close towards, well, maybe there is a God that's real. So there's an encouragement with the supermarket strategy, if you like. Another one, social media, YouTube. You know, the whole world is online at the moment, And let's use that as an opportunity to share Jesus. Sometimes I'll go on YouTube and I'll ask for God to lead me to a video where I can share something of faith or encouragement with someone. You know, it could be, say, like a video about mental health struggles, and you could put a little comment on there saying, you know, if you're going through this at the moment, like, I'm really sorry to hear that. You know, Jesus has helped me through anxiety or whatever it might be, and I just want to encourage you that he can help you too. You know, you never know what God could do through that comment. A third little example I wanted to share just quickly is the nothing to lose. So an example I'll give you of this is, so I went to watch Brighton play Liverpool a couple of weeks ago. I had a good time, thanks for asking. So I went on my own. I went on my own to the game. It was the first away game I've been to in the absence of my dad. But I basically got chatting to the couple next to me during the game, just casually, you know, about how the football was going and things like that. And at halftime, the lady had gone to the toilet, and I was sat next to the husband, and basically there wasn't any conversation happening, and there was about 5 minutes until the second half. And I just had this sense in me of like, oh, James, just like, just ask him something about faith. Like, just, you've got nothing to lose. You're probably never going to see these guys ever again in your life. And I just had this moment of bottle where I thought, I'm just going to do it. And I think I said a quick prayer, like, please help me, Lord. And I turned to this chap and I said, so do you have a faith? And he sort of went, what? Excuse me? And I basically sort of linked to the normalizing type thing. I think God gave me the words, but I just said something like, you know, I'm a Christian chap. I'm just quite interested, you know, in what people believe in and faith and things. And just out of pure interest, I was wondering if you had a faith as well. And he, you know, he was completely fine with me asking. He was like, oh, yeah, I don't actually have a faith. And then I basically had a chance to share. So Liverpool sing You'll Never Walk Alone, this anthem. Really powerful. And I basically got to share with him that I said, you know, I lost my dad a few months ago. I've come up to the game on my own today. And although I've come sort of humanly speaking on my own, you know, almost singing that song was a reminder for me that, you know, God's with me, that I'm never on my own. Like, God's always with me. I'm never going to walk alone because I know God's with me. And, you know, I just got to share that little nugget with this chap. And you never know. I never know what God might do through that. You know, that might be something that he takes away with him and thinks about that actually, yeah, even in the difficulties of life, I don't have to be on my own. There could be a God that might be with me, like, yeah, I told him about with me. So I share these examples more for inspiration, really, rather than to be prescriptive in terms of things like you have to go away and do. You know, God's given us all different giftings, all different personalities. He's given all of you something that you can share with others if you're a Christian in the room. And it could be as simple as, like, baking a cake for your neighbour and telling them that, you know, God's given everything for you and the least you could do for them is just to give something back, you know, for like, God's given everything for you, I can at least do this for you, I wanted to make you a cake, I wanted to bless you. You know, that's a shine in the sow in one go, isn't it? So, yeah, maybe just something to pray about and think about where God could use you to share God, maybe just a little bit more intentionally in whatever way that might look like for you. And I just want to say, PS, if you're not a Christian in the room, I appreciate that this could sound like sort of cheeky tactics or slightly devious ways of helping people to hear about Jesus or find out about faith, but I hope you can see the heart behind it, you know, that we don't want to be like aggressively telling people about Jesus, forcing him down people's throats. Like, if you've experienced this wonderful truth of a God that's changed your life and saved you from your sin and loves you, you know, unconditionally, then you're going to want to do what you can to share that with people in a gentle, natural, normal way. And, you know, take it or leave it. We're not saying you have to believe this, but hopefully you can sort of hear the heart behind what I'm saying. If you're thinking, this bloke at the front is, yeah, sounding a little devious here. there's a really good heart behind it. I want to sort of, yeah, reassure you of that. So we're kind of about to bring us into the next verse. So we've just read about, I've gone off a bit on a tangent, but hopefully it's been helpful, that Philip has just shared his experience with Nathaniel, right? He's shared his experience of Jesus with Nathaniel, like I've sort of been encouraging us to share our experience of Jesus with others ourselves. And that brings us into verse 46, which says this, Nazareth, can anything good come from there? Nathaniel asked, and then Philip responded and said, come and see. Come and see. Now, firstly, I want to give you a little bit of context. So Jesus was brought up in Nazareth, which is located in Galilee, and we can see from Nathanael's response to Philip that Nazareth didn't have an amazing reputation. You know, Nazareth, can anything good come from there? It would have had humble origins. It would have been a small village, probably nestled among the hills, with a poor political reputation. You know, it's not the sort of place you'd expect greatness to come from. Perhaps not a direct comparison, but you can imagine it would be a bit of a surprise if, say, the next Prime Minister came from somewhere like a Peckham or a Millwall. You know, in other words, Nazareth probably wouldn't have been the top candidate for helping to raise the Son of God and the soon-to-be Saviour of the world. It may have didn't have that sort of glistening reputation that, you know, people would have been expecting greatness to come from, but it did. And sort of similarly to that point, in relation to thinking about the shine and so concept, you know, unfortunately, Christianity is often quite negatively associated with, whether that be due to people's misconceptions about faith or bad press about Christianity, or maybe due to the cost of following Jesus, you know, with sort of thinking about having to adhere to teachings and this sort of very rule-based thing that's going to be really dry and awful and ruin my life. You know, when Nathanael was asking, can anything good come out of Nazareth? I think many in our culture would be asking the question, can any true joy in life come from Christianity? Can anything like really good come from following Jesus? Like, you know, people aren't often convinced that can be a wonderful thing. And I think Philip's response to Nathanael that we see here should be similar to the questions that we have from other people about Jesus. And that's this, come and see. Come and see for yourself. Come and experience for yourself the reality of this amazing God that I am sharing with you. You know, partnered with sharing our experiences of others of God in our lives, like I talked a bit about a minute ago, we should always be looking to see if we can bring an invitation as part of that. You know, for example, you know, this amazing God that I'm telling you about, or that I'm shining with life about, or even just shining with, I'm struggling at the moment, but God's genuinely helping me in this. He's available for you to experience for yourself as well. It's not just the God that is helping me in life. You can also come and taste and see that he's good as well. And here at King's Church, our focal point for signposting other people to come and see Jesus for themselves is church on a Sunday morning, you know, like we're doing today. One of those reasons is because church happens every single Sunday, so the next opportunity to invite someone along is never going to be too far away. Of course, other opportunities like the Alpha Course, the Carol Service, these are all brilliant things that you can invite people to. But I think if you have church in your mind, it's like, whatever the season is, you can invite them to church. And there's a wonderful opportunity there. And, you know, partly we say church is because meeting together at church is just such a wonderful opportunity for tasting and seeing the goodness of God for ourselves through every aspect of the service. We can encounter God. We can experience him. Rich, our church leader, he'll tell you about how it was through coming to church where he encountered God for the first time. You know, he came in skeptical and he went away with his life completely changed. You know, God can do that through a church service. Also linked to the shine and so concept, you know, people coming to church as well as encountering God potentially through the worship time or hearing about him through the message. Even the teas and coffees time, you know, is a chance for people to encounter Jesus through each of you guys that put your faith in Jesus. The Bible says the Holy Spirit lives in each one of you that has put your faith in Jesus. And actually, people can experience a taste of Jesus, even in those conversations afterwards, you know, through just seeing the life of Jesus inside of you. And I think, like I've mentioned a couple of times, I want to encourage you that even if you're chatting with someone afterwards in tea or coffee, you're not brimming with sort of this smiley joy of Jesus because you're really struggling. That's still a witness. Like, God's helping me in the difficult time. I'm struggling at the moment, but God's with me. That is a shine as well, because a lot of people are struggling in life, and to know there's a God that's going to be with them in that is game-changing. So, let me just have a quick swig. So, yes, I think a bit of a sort of misconception with the shining idea that I often think as well is, you know, shining Jesus. You have to be just like, you know, almost like the lally, just absolutely, no, just the most, my definition of a wonderfully shiny Jesus, like, yes, person. But actually, yeah, wherever you're at in your personalities, whatever your walk is, whatever stage you are, whether you're struggling, whether you're full of life in God, whether you're struggling at the moment, you can still shine the truth of God. And that's kind of what I wanted to say on that. So in short, you know, if you're inviting people to come to church, I'd encourage that to be a focal point for you towards helping people to come and see Jesus. You know, worst case, if you invite someone to church, they either turn it down or they potentially laugh it off, right? Best case, they come along and they get saved. It's surely got to be worth the ask. Just at least, you know, like Rich, he would have said he came along and was thinking, well, not really sure if this is, you know, going to do anything. And bang, God changed his life. So it's worth the ask. It's always worth the ask. With that being said, let's go into verse 47. And it goes like this. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, "Here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. It's a bit of an interesting phrase here. And there's sort of a couple of options for what Jesus could be saying. It could be that Jesus is being a bit sarcastic back to Nathanael. So previously, Nathanael was just said, you know, surely nothing good can come out of Nazareth. And with Jesus' all-knowing knowledge, he would have known he'd have said that. And he could, you know, it would probably seem fitting for Jesus to respond back or jokingly bite back with a fairly sort of, you know, blunt remark about Nathanael's reputation or his level of integrity. Perhaps more likely, though, I think Jesus could well be speaking sincerely here about Nathanael's character as being a man who's without deceit and full of integrity. And there's a little bit of a reference there, most likely to unlike Jacob in the Old Testament, who deceitfully stole his brother's birthright. You know, Jesus saying that here potentially is an Israelite that is without deceit, unlike Jacob. And I mention Jacob partly because he comes up again later in the passage. But either way, you know, whatever Nathanael's moral character is like, whether he's, you know, an upright man of good character without much deceit, whether he, you know, is a man full of deceit and isn't a very good character, the point is he needs Jesus. You know, Jesus came for the good, in inverted commas, none of us are perfect. He came for the bad, he came for the struggling, he came for everyone. And part of the Christian's responsibility to help people see their need for Jesus is to help people to understand that actually, yeah, wherever you're at, whether you think you need Jesus or not, you do actually need him, and it's going to be a wonderful thing. And that's because all of us have fallen short of God's perfect standards. If you're not a Christian in the room, you know, the Bible's quite clear about this, that all of us have sinned, all of us have done stuff wrong. All of us have fallen short of God's perfect standards. And therefore, we need Jesus' forgiveness for our lives, the one that came to live a perfect life on our behalf and then died as a sacrifice for your sin. You need him, but he loves you, and he loved you that much that he died for you to prove it and to make salvation possible for you. And as we'll see in the next section, like, Jesus can help you to believe in him if you're currently someone who's struggling for the faith that you need to actually make that step and put your faith in him. So let's read those verses now to see that encouragement. 48 to 50, it says this. "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree, before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus said, "You believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree. You will see even greater things than that." And clearly, this is the first time that Nathanael has met Jesus, and Jesus proves to him that he's got this all-knowing knowledge that only God could have. He's telling him about seeing him under this fig tree, which clearly is something Nathanael knew was something that no one else would have been able to know. Like, how did Jesus even know about this fig tree thing that he's talking about? And whatever this fig tree scenario is all about, we're not quite sure. But the bottom line is that Jesus knew everything about him. He knew, you know, he sees every aspect of his life. He knew all about this fig tree sort of situation. And in turn, that helped Nathanael to put his faith in Jesus, to believe, like, hang on, you knew this about me. How did you know that? You must be God. You must have this knowledge that only God could have. And the same is true of all of us. He knows us inside out. He knows what it will take for people to believe in Jesus, whatever that barrier might be, stopping people from believing. He knows what that is. And firstly, an encouragement from that for Christians in the room in relation to shining and sowing, that, you know, since God knows everything about everyone in the world, You know, he's big enough to save them. He's big enough to be able to help them to know him. You know, ultimately, salvation belongs to Jesus, and we just have to be obedient in sharing our faith with others as best as we can. But the rest ultimately is between God and the person that you've shared with, which takes the pressure off salvation lying on our shoulders and feeling like failures if someone isn't saved. Like, I shared Jesus with so many of my uni mates, and I didn't see any evidence of any of them come to know faith in my time at university. But at the end of the day, and then at the time, I was like, oh, I've clearly done an awful job, but I was obedient. I shared Jesus as best I could. And one, I never know what God might do with that. And two, God knows how he can bring them home. Even if he didn't bring them home, you know, in that time when I was at university, he can still bring them home later down the line. I want you, if you're a Christian, to sort of take heart from that. And if you're not a Christian in the room, I want to encourage you the same thing, in the sense that God sees you. He cares about you. He knows everything about you. He knows exactly where you're at. He knows what you're struggling with. He knows maybe, yeah, what barriers there are in your heart that are making it difficult for you to believe in him or want to follow him. An initial encouragement for you, I guess, would be to pray a little cheeky prayer to God. You know, God, if you are indeed real, like James is talking about, would you help me to believe in you? Would you do something to just help me have that faith in you? But equally, I wouldn't encourage you to leave it just there and like, oh, if nothing happens, that's it, I'll just crack on my life. There's some encouragements in the Bible about seeking Jesus with all your heart, you know, seeking, not just sort of praying and then cracking on. But there's a couple of verses I want to share. Matthew 7, verses 7 to 8 says this: ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened. You know, linked to that, James 4, verse 8 says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. If you seek God with your heart, if you press into him, if you, you know, ask him to help you believe, like, I truly believe he will meet with you. The passages say it. The passages say, you know, Jesus will come and meet with you. If you knock, if you seek, you will find. He will come into your life. And, yeah, I'd encourage you to keep seeking. If you haven't found him yet, please don't give up, because seeking and finding is the best thing you will ever do, and you'll be so pleased that you continue to seek without giving up in finding Jesus and the truth that the Bible says about him that is true for you. You know, you don't even have to have this tangible encounter with Jesus. You know, he can give you the faith to, even just that mustard seed level of faith to believe, I think there's enough here that I believe in him, and to take that step of faith to put your trust in Jesus. I want to encourage you, even if that's remotely stirring in your heart today, I want to pray that God helps you with that. And actually, this concept that I'm kind of coming on to talk about in relation to experiencing God for yourself, we hear about a bit more in the final verse. So at the end of verse 50, Jesus says to Nathanael that he'll see even greater things than having witnessed this all-knowing knowledge of God that Jesus has just proven to him. And he gives some detail of that to us in verse 51. So it says this: he then added, very truly, I'll tell you, you'll see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. And another reason we were able to link the verse earlier to the Jacob story is because this verse has been blatantly taken from Genesis chapter 12 in relation to a dream that Jacob had, where he saw a ladder reaching from earth up to heaven with the angels ascending and descending on it. And this glorious image of Jesus, you know, ascending on this ladder. And the punchline of the image is that Jesus came to bridge the divide between humans and God, to be that ladder to reconnect humans with God. You know, the one who's about to go on for the likes of Nathanael and Philip in this passage to forgive them from their sin, to then pour out the Holy Spirit to live in their hearts and encounter them in a fully immersive way, and to be with them for all eternity following death. You know, this is something that Jesus, yeah, is going on to talk about. And while Jesus' fig tree knowledge of Nathanael was impressive, Nathanael has even greater experiences of God's power still to come in his life, as I mentioned, through his death, life, death, and resurrection. And the same is true, you know, for anyone that puts their faith in Jesus. Like, you can know this mind-blowingly incredible news about Jesus for yourself. Let me just have a swig as we come into land. And sort of firstly, in relation to that encountering Jesus sort of concept, I kind of wanted to Firstly, talk to Christians, as I bring us into a bit of response time, that, you know, like I said earlier, all of you would have encountered something of Jesus, something of the truth of Jesus, something of the life of Jesus, something of the knowledge of what Jesus has done for you, that I pray will help you to get to a point of just complete overflow to those around you. You almost won't be able to help yourself but to share something of Jesus with others, or, you know, ask God to help you have those opportunities to just share something of him because you know it can change their life. So let's take every opportunity to be shiners and sowers, to help this world who so desperately needs Jesus to find him. And finally, as I've talked to you a little bit already, you know, non-believers in the room, those of you that currently aren't a Christian, those that currently haven't given your life to Jesus, I do hope this passage has encouraged you that God knows where you're at. He sees you. He knows you. He's capable of helping you to believe intellectually in him. And he's also more than capable of tangibly encountering you in a very real way with love, peace, and joy that is beyond anything that this world can offer. It was in a space like this where I encountered the presence of God for the first time, and it completely changed my life. And yeah, I want to encourage you, he can truly do the same for you as well. So yeah, we're going to invite the band up now, if that's okay, for a bit of a response to this. And essentially, I guess my encouragement with the response is this, you know, wherever you're at, maybe put your hands out if it helps you towards receiving. Shut your eyes, whatever it might look like to help you just be in a place of receiving. If you're a Christian in the room, we can always do with more of the presence of God in our lives. The more we're filled with Jesus, one, the better that's going to be for ourselves, but two, the more naturally we're going to shine and sow with those around us. And if you're not a Christian in the room, yeah, this is an opportunity. If there's even something slightly stirring in your heart that thinks, I think I do want to know this Jesus that James has been talking about this morning, that we've been hearing about in the worship and throughout the morning, just to open your heart to find Jesus for yourself, him to meet with you, to encounter you of where you're at, to help you to have that faith, to put your faith in him. But yeah, God sees your heart most importantly, like I said. Putting your hands out might be something you might like to do, but the first time I encountered God, the first time I had my arms folded, I think, but God saw my heart was burning for him, and that's what he sees the most. So whatever feels comfortable, go with that. Let me say a quick prayer, and then we'll let the band take it from there towards helping us receive from Jesus this morning. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you that you're a God that invites us to come and see you for ourselves. That I thank you for those of us in the room that have already tasted and seen that you are good and all that the scriptures say you are. I pray you'll fill us believers in the room with a fresher measure of you today, Lord, of your love, your joy, your peace, your hope, your comfort, Lord, for both our own benefit but also the benefit of sharing you with other people. I want to pray for non-believers in the room, Lord. If they're here, even just for that ounce of faith, would you help them to know you, Lord, know your love for them, your abounding love, your care for them, what you've done for them on the cross, that it's true that you really did do it, you really did rise from the dead, and you really love them. You see them and you want to help them in life. And I want to pray quickly as well, if any of you are struggling in the room today, God sees you, he knows who you're at. If even the thought of sharing Jesus with others as a Christian is like, I can't even contemplate that right now because I'm struggling so much. Jesus, would you meet with these people, help them in where they're struggling, help them in the difficulties. In this time, would you just minister to them with your love and your care and your arms around them towards helping them to have the strength to get through this time with you. And for your glory, we pray. Thank you, Lord. Amen.